Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Garage Talk Live. It is Tuesday, May the 3rd. Where is the summer going? The spring is chugging on through. It's going to be summertime soon. About a month. A couple of weeks. Anyway, hope you all had a good weekend watching the races. NASCAR, Xfinity, and Cup Series were down at Talladega. The NHRAs were out in Houston for the Spring Nationals, so we had some straight line action and some oval track action today. So if you want to call in, the number is 646-649-1899. And tell me what you thought. A lot of wrecks on Sunday. Few big ones, three cars getting airborne. The big winner of the event was Chris Buescher in 34. He got some good ground clearance there. Everybody came out okay, of course. Matt Kenseth was involved in one, and let's see who the other one was. Have to check the cost list because it was pretty good. Going on there. So it was a pretty wild race. Lived up to expectations there. So Dale Jr., my pick last week, let me down. Well, probably let a lot more people down than him, but he had some issues. He wound up in two wrecks. The last one, of course, finishing his car off. First one started, came out early. I mean, but all in all, it was a fairly clean race. When you look at it, it was only 10 cautions for 41 laps. I mean, but anyway, we'll get more on that a little later. Let's go out to the drag strip for the Spring Nationals, Meliola Spring Nationals, and Fuel Division. Doug Kalita and Steve Torrance battled it out, last week's four-wide winner. Brittany Force didn't get past the first round, losing to number 10 qualifier, Kevin Kinsley. That's K-E-B, not K-E-V, but Doug Kalita tried to get on the show this week. Leah Pritchett, whose team folded up, did wind up picking up a ride for this past weekend and at the four wides. She made it all the way through to the semifinals. She went up against Doug Kalita, who was the eventual finalist, but Kalita went up against Terry Haddock and Kevin Kinsley in round two. He had a couple of easy wins there, even though against Kinsley, he ran a 4-3, but the red light went on for Kinsley, so Kalita had an easy time of it. Steve Torrance, on the other hand, the other finalist, had Bob Passy, somebody I never heard of the 16th qualifier, then Tony Schumacher, and then Antoine Brown, a little tougher road to hoe. Before facing Kalita in the finals, and it was a pretty close one there. The wing light tripping by 0.03 of a second. That's how close it was. Kalita with a 381.3 beat Torrance with a 381. Now, you think the lower EP of Torrance would have got it, but Kalita got him off the starting line with a 0.036 reaction time. The Torrance is 0.058, and that was enough to make the difference in make it the whole shot win for Kalita. Kalita being the number two qualifier. Had a battle it out for a little bit. The low ET was Steve Torrance with a 3.72 with a 4 for the weekend. And also he had the top speed with a 329.42 miles an hour. That's in 1,000 feet, so. So the funny car round. Somebody who had a tough time last year is finding her groove this year. Courtney Force made it to the finals against Tim Wilkerson. Tim Wilkerson driving a Ford, the last Mustang in the field. Courtney driving Chevy Camaro. That being said, of course, the Force family, John Force Racing, used to run Fords. And Ford kind of backed out the backing of all the teams in the NHRA. Wilkerson, I guess, is just driving a Ford because that's what he wants to run, but I don't think he has any factory backing. I don't even see much of any of the Ford people NHRA events. They're concentrating on NASCAR, and they're coming out with a new Ford GT. They're working on a supercar again. Of course, this will be the third edition. A bit more on that in a little bit. Wilkerson, number one qualifier in the funny car division. Got to go against some tough customers to make it to the final. His route against started off in round one against number 16 qualifier, Jim Campbell. And then up against former champ Matt Hagen. Then up against defending champ Jack Beckman. Against fast Jack Beckman, defending champ is Del Worsham, who lost to Beckman in round two. And then Courtney Force had to go up against Bob Bodie and Ronnie Capps, Tommy Johnson Jr., all competitors and former champs, so except for Bodie. But Ronnie Capps was a former champ, Tommy Johnson Jr. as well. I remember catching up with both of those guys at the Motorsports Show when it was in Fort Washington, I think my first year there. We're driving for the Snake, Don Prudhomme. So I got them both because they were in a motorhome sitting inside of a building to have some one-on-ones with both of them. It was pretty neat. But anyway, all in all, breaking out of the slump was Courtney Force. She ran a 3.91 with a 3 versus Wilkerson 3.94 with a 3. That's 3/100ths of a second difference. McCarr was a bit faster. They were both even off the tree in 0.76 to an 0.77 for Courtney. And it was her first win in several years. And of course, her and Graham Rahal, the IndyCar driver, son of Bobby Rahal, are engaged. I'm waiting to see the wedding announcements from that one. But going to happen, I think, right now. his career. He had a good finish, finishing third last time out. And she's back in the win column, so all's well and good there. On to the pro stock. The final round consisted of Greg Anderson and Jason Lyne. Anderson having a first round bye, nobody to run against. That was an instant free pass. Then up against Vincent Nobile. In round two, and then Alan Johnson in round three. Jason Lyne was had a different round. He went up against, he was number two qualifier, went up against V Gaines in round one, and then a bye in round two, and I'm still trying to figure out how that worked out. He should have faced the winner of Bo Butner and Aaron Strong, but Butner went up against the, because there was an empty round. I guess some people couldn't make it to the start line for eliminations because there was an empty, there should have been one there. So Jason Lyne got the bye. If they're knocking out V Gaines in round one, because he would have went up against the, oh, I see how it goes. These ladders are a little tricky. And then Erica Enders and Chris McGahey went up with Erica going out in the first round again. Erica, come on. You should go back to the Chevy. Matter of fact, her teammate in the Dodge lost to her other teammate who's still driving the Chevy in the first round. I'm looking at the times, except Jed Coughlin red lit, but he was a 668 and Erica was a 665. So Erica got beat off the line because it was a whole shot for Chris McGahey. He only had a 666 with an 8. But an 018 reaction where she had a 665 with a 9 with an 035 reaction. 2/100ths of a second was 'd give the car enough launch to get out of the gate early and get down the track just a little quicker, but she was close behind. Anyway, then Lyne went up against Butner in the semifinals, up against Greg Anderson. And Greg Anderson outlasted Jason Lyne with a whole shot win in the final round. Anderson's 0:29 reaction time to 6:63 beat Jason Lyne's 0:72 reaction time with a 6:59. I mean, we're talking a tenth of a second, well, about half a tenth of a second difference there. So it's just amazing that guessing right on the light or reacting right on the light can get you down the track and across the finish line before the person sitting next to you. So, that being said, the standings now are as follows. In the top fuel division, Brittany Force leads Doug Kalita by a point. She lost a bit of ground over four wides when she took the win by going down early. Antron Brown is in the third spot. He's only 19 back. It's not going to be a problem there. 47 back is yesterday's other finalist, Steve Torrance. He's 47 back. 5 through 10, it's Clay Milliken, J.R. Todd, Tony Schumacher, Leah Pritchett in 8th, Richie Crampton in 9th, and Terry McMillan rounds out the top 10 in the cutoff line for the countdown when they head to the U.S. Nationals in Indianapolis later on this year. And the point structure changes. The seeding goes, the top spot is a 30-point lead over second, and then second through 10 are 10 points apart as they kick it off. In the funny car division, Courtney Force, now up the top of the heap, tied with Tim Wilkerson after beating him yesterday. She climbed a few spots because she was a little further down the pile. Ronnie Capps is third. Robert Height, her brother-in-law, is fourth. Dad's fifth, John Force, sixth to Jack Beckman. Del Worsham, the defending champ, seventh. Eighth is Alexis DeGioia. Ninth, Chad Head. And tenth is Matt Hagen. So right now, the four sisters lead the top of lead the Nitro cars in the points. That's pretty cool. Can you imagine if they can hang on? You have a top who's a woman, first time since Shirley Muldowney, I believe, has done it, which is a long time ago. Courtney Force up the top there. Tell me that wouldn't make Daddy proud, his two daughters taking the two championship divisions in the NHRA. In the pro stock, Jason Lyon has a 79-point lead over Greg Anderson, who battled it out yesterday. Anderson gaining about 20 points. Online, Bo Butner wound up, he's third in points, he's 181 back. Fourth is Drew Skillman, Chris McGahey, fifth. Alan Johnson, sixth. Seventh is Vincent Obeil. Eric Enders is in the eighth spot. He's hanging tough there. Ninth, her teammate, Jed Coughlin. And tenth is Alex Lachlan. I'm still trying to figure that out. I don't know how to ask her. Should I ask her on the air or not? In the pro stock motorcycle round, Eddie Krawick and Andrew Hines are the top two in that order. Hector Arana Sr. in third. Chip Ellis is fourth. Gerald Savoy fifth. Sixth, L.E. Tonglet. Seventh, Michael Ray. Matt Smith is eighth. Angel Sampe is ninth. James Underdahl is tenth. Angel Sampe is the winningest female in the NHRA of the Mellow Yellow Series. She has a boatload of wins. I think it's like 75. I have to check her her bio back on her webpage to be sure, but she is the winningest female in the NHRA. Of course, she's done it on two wheels where everybody else has done it on four, and your current funny car points leader has the 100th win for a woman. So that says a lot there. So maybe it's in the national record section. I don't know. We'll find it. We'll definitely find it. Here we go. I'm looking for it right now. Excuse me. 41 career wins. I was wrong. All the way back into 1996, the first. Her 41 wins are the most ever for a female in NHR history and the second most in any in pro stock motorcycle. So a guy named Dave Schultz, not the ex-flyer, tough guy, but and that happened way back in the day. I don't even recognize that name. Within the last 10 years anyway, so. Anyway, that takes care of the NHRA wrap-up. Like I said, if you want to give us a call, the number is 646-649-1899. On to NASCAR's weekend at Talladega. Of course, the Xfinity Series kicked it all off on Saturday, and it turned out to be a wild and woolly one there, too, come being decided by videotape because due to a last lap crash, we had to go to where the yellow came out and froze the field. And so Elliott Sadler was declared the winner. Little Gator Justin Allgaier got second. Brennan Poole, who's a rookie, you know, number 48, credited with third. Jeremy Clements took home the fourth spot. He did good for Jeremy because he's a single car, family owned team that runs week in and week out with Childress Motors and payday sort of. It's a lot better when you come home fourth than when you come home 15th or 16th, but he plugs away at it with his family team, and it's good to see him get a top 10 finish, top 5, let alone top 10. Brendan Gaughan took the fifth spot. Austin Dillon was sixth. Daniel Suarez was seventh. Eighth was Matt Tiff, who started from the pole. Driving the 18th as Kyle Busch is not running the Xfinity Series for a little bit. So they have to use a filler. So Matt Tiff got the nod and finished eighth. Chase Elliott driving the 88. Filling the shoes for Dale Jr., who won at Richmond in the 88 Xfinity last week. Of course, Chase Elliott getting his start with Junior Motorsports in the Xfinity Series before moving in to fill in the 24 when Jeff Gordon decided to retire and go into the booth. Eric Almirola rounds out the top 10, so driving the 98 car, so busy day in Talladega. There were only 7 cautions for 29 laps, with the last one coming on lap 116, the final lap of the race. That included the 1, the 11, the 18, the 22, the 44. So second, Sadler is the number one car. Of course, with Elliott Sadler getting the win, he's the first Nationwide Series regular to do so in quite a while. So he wound up getting bonus points He led once for one lap, the last lap, the important one, so that's all that matters. And the biggest lap leader of the day led once for 36 laps, and that was Brandon Jones in the 33. That's a Childress owned car, so he's a rookie this year, so but he wound up a little back in the pack. Race was 2 hours, 19 minutes, and 45 seconds. Average speed, 132.5 miles an hour. I could have went Acura with 0.447, but I wouldn't. And like I said, the race ended under yellow, so there was no margin of victory. In the Xfinity Series points, Elliott Sadler now in the top spot. Daniel Suarez in second. Ty Dillon's third. Justin Allgaier's fourth. Brendan Gaughan is fifth. Brandon Jones, sixth. Eric Jones, seventh. Eighth, Brennan Poole. Ninth, Darrell Wallace Jr. And tenth, Ryan Reed. There were 20 lead changes amongst 13 drivers. So, it wasn't one guy dominated the whole race. It was actually spread out. And that's a good thing about the restrictor plate racing. Because if you catch the right area in the draft, you can get a lead, and it doesn't matter where you're at when you do it. Dale Earnhardt Sr. actually was 19th in the Sprint Cup Series race a few back in 2000. You got to go back that far because the Daytona 500 of 2001 was his last race. So at the second Talladega race, he wound up catching the draft in 19th back off the restart, drafted his way to the front with the help from the Herm, Kenny Wallace, and was able to take the checkered flag. That was his last ever win. So so it doesn't matter. Well, anyway, let's go to the press room and pick up race winning driver Elliott Sadler, driver of the One Main Financial Chevrolet. Oh, boy. If I turn the sound up.
Okay. All right. We are now joined by our race winner, Elliott Sadler, driver of the number one main Chevrolet for Junior Motorsports. Elliott, first off, happy birthday.
Thank you.
And secondly, congratulations on your race win today. Talk about getting back into victory lane with Junior Motorsports.
Yeah, it's holy cow, so many emotions and stories and things going through my head right now. So many different reasons why we wanted to win the race today, but these are the biggest two right here beside me, and this is why I wanted to bring them. It's you know, they don't get to come to a lot of races, and they definitely hadn't been to victory lane yet with Daddy. Wyatt was with me at Pocono when I went in a truck a long time ago, but he was only a couple months old. So to see my kids in victory lane with me and my wife was very special, very emotional, and something I'll never forget.
All right. We'll go ahead and open it up to questions. We'll start with Bob, and then we'll go to Tom.
And quick press conference statement. No other things there, but we do have the car owner, Dale Earnhardt Jr., so and then we have second place Justin Allgaier and Brennan Poole. So we'll just talk about, see what Allgaier had to say.
We'll begin our post-race media availabilities for the Sparks Energy 300. We're joined now by driver of the number seven, Breyer Chevrolet, Justin Allgaier. Justin, that was a tremendous finish to a great race. Tell us about how it looked from your seat.
Well, it was crazy at the end there. You know, obviously we knew coming down to the end, green, white checkers, we're going to be a little bit on the crazy side, but huge congrats to Elliot. Obviously, for Junior Motorsports to finish 1-2, it's a good day. Tim, to do it on his birthday, we were joking yesterday in the autograph session that between the two of us, we were going to both finish 1-2. We just didn't care which order. Obviously, it would have been nice to be in victory lane right now, but you know, to come out of here with a second-place finish, to have a shot at the win like we did, you know, huge thank you to everybody back in the shop. The guys at Junior Motorsports did a great job, and whether it be the bodies, the chassis, the engines, the Hendrick engines, you know, everybody from all of our partners. It's definitely been a lot of fun this year, and we're getting closer. You know, last week we had a strong run and ultimately didn't get to pick up the win. So to be that close again this week is definitely encouraging, and we'll keep moving on from here and try to go pick us up another one in a few weeks.
Questions for our second-place finisher?
There's Justin Allgaier, of course, the race-winning car owner and the second-place car owner, Dale Earnhardt Jr. Got to sit on the podium and talk about being the 1 and 2 car owner.
All right, we are now joined by our race-winning crew chief car owner. Dale, I don't think you knew you were a crew chief today, too.
Yeah.
Our race-winning car owner, Dale Earnhardt Jr. Dale, just talk about Sadler and Victory Lane today and the final lap of today's race.
Yeah, that was a wild race. I was happy about the, you know, how good the race was. Had a debris caution there with about 10 laps to go that I don't think anybody wanted, but because it was so good. Those guys are really mixing it up out there, a lot of pushing and stuff at the end, but you kind of see that at all the plate races. Elliot has had a bit of a drought and has struggled to see the results that he's thinks he's capable of seeing. And when we got together over the off season, this is exactly what we envisioned for us to be able to do. So I was excited for him to get the win, and I know he's worked real hard to get this opportunity, and we're trying to do the best we can to give him the best stuff. So we, you know, we've been working really hard as a company to get better, to get, you know, catch some of these other teams that have been winning all these races. So for Junior Motorsports to win 2 races in a row is pretty awesome for us as a company. And the phone is buzzing like crazy in my pocket, and I know it's family and my mom and all the people that work there that are so excited about the success we're having. The One Main folks were here today at the racetrack. A lot of those folks are new with the company as it's been bought out over the past several months, and some of them are seeing this sport for the first time. Some of them are meeting Elliot and myself and our team for the first time. So for us to get a victory today was crazy for our team. And, you know, we just had the announcement over the last couple of weeks with Hellman's renewing. So it's awesome to be able to showcase our team and be able to get to victory lane with the sponsor present. I spent a lot of time with those folks today. It's Kevin Meander, his first victory. And he was my lead engineer for several years and helped rejuvenate my career on the Cup side. And we believe in his ability to become a great crew chief in this sport for a long time. So it's awesome to share this moment with him and see him gain more and more confidence in himself and what he can do with a group of guys. So it's a big day for us today. And, you know, we're real excited. We're going to, you know, keep working. I don't know where we are as far as how we've how we have gained on the Gibbs stuff and the Penske stuff, but we are certainly using all our resources, and we're grinding away. Every individual in that shop is working as hard as they can, trying to close that gap.
Dale Earnhardt Jr., of course, building the Xfinity Series cars for the 7, the 88, and the 1. And and actually, looks like he's picking up, I don't see Hendrick cars in the Xfinity Series. So Hendrick back, Junior Motorsports is running the series there. Any questions you might have, give me a call, 646-649-1899. So, on to the Cup side. With that race being another wild and woolly one. As well, so the finish of that one, the yellow is about to come out, so and it was a pretty good race to watch, actually, so when all was said and done, it came down to a battle of fast cars, because with a restart with three laps to go, it was not a green-white checker, even though it had every option to be such, and it just wasn't, because they started it before and were able to get it in. Now, had it started one lap later, it would have been a green-white checker finish, but being there were three laps to actually go, they only got one round of regulation. But on the last lap, it still turned out to be a wild finish, because behind the leaders, everybody started wrecking. So, sorry about that. And when all was said and done, it was the number two of Brad Keselowski, who the checkered flag and Kyle Busch wound up finishing second. So, it was a drag race pretty much down to the finish, with Keselowski getting to the finish line, giving him his second win of the season. And also tying him up with Kyle Busch, Jimmy Johnson, and Carl Edwards, all who have got two wins this year. So in chase seeding, it comes down to a pretty close group. So the tiebreakers would be really, really tight. But anyway, Austin Dillon wound up in the third spot. Jamie McMurray, fourth, fifth, Chase Elliott, another top five for Chase. He's looking good in his rookie year. Tony Stewart, who actually got credited for sixth place finish, actually had a driver change around the first caution. Ty Dillon, Austin's younger brother, filling in for Smoke, and outlasting the carnage. Actually, might have even been caught up in it, but was able to survive that. So, Clint Bowyer wound up seventh. Kurt Busch wound up eighth. Looked like Kurt might have won it too, but with the drafting and the right lines, it's just one of those things that happens, and you know, want to just turn out that way. Ryan Blaney, a good finish for him in the ninth spot in the Wood Brothers Ford. And rounding out the top 10 is driver of the number 6, Trevor Bayne, who actually led for 22 laps. Landon Castle, 11th. He got credited with, or blamed, I should say, for starting a wreck. But, but that's what happens. He was a little rambunctious. Matt Kenseth's car, he was leading for a bit. Him and he got gathered up. Jimmy Johnson, I mean, a lot of top names gathered up. Danica Patrick, though, a hard hit involved when Matt Kenseth got a little sideways. Actually, somebody cut down on Danica. I think it was Michael McDowell and forced her into Kenseth. They kind of slid, and the way her car angled in his car, we got him up in the air, and she slammed the inside retaining wall, and he got a little up in the air. He didn't, and they rolled over a couple of times, but the wildest wreck of the night was Chris Buescher in the 34, who wound up with doing a rollover in the air before he landed, so he makes all the highlight reels. Dale Jr. wound up in last after a couple of wrecks early, 10 cautions for 41 laps, but at Talladega, it's usually a pretty good amount of cars involved in most of them, especially in the wreck at lap 162. There was a bunch of cars in that one. At least 20 cars, so it's just a wild night in Talladega. And I think when I posted on the Garage Talk Live page, I put Brad Keselowski survives the carnage. That was when half the field is mashed up and pretty violent. Everybody was fighting for spots there, tight, pushing for the draft. But they go bump draft and might have played a little bit of play. Matt DiBenedetto, who finished good on the short tracks, turned into a Cinderella story, sort of, kind of. But he didn't get a win, but he did finish well in Bristol and Richmond. Not so good this week. He wound up 36th after starting 35. So, but the total finishing order for everybody in the race, it was the back of the pack in the junk heap, Dale Jr., Paul Menard, Joey Logano, Danica, Jimmy Johnson, Kenseth, Ryan Newman, Kyle Larson, Regan Smith, Casey Meadows, David. I mean, you know, there's a bunch of top, week-to-week top finishers that wound up in the bottom half of the finishing order this past weekend. That happened at Daytona and Talladega. Well, anyway, let's hear from Brad Kay, who took the checkers at the largest speedway on the circuit and the fastest. The four restrictor plates now, I think they got them pinched down to where Michigan and California are faster. But Brad Kay talks with the press after the race.
All right, we are now being joined by the race winner of today's Geico 500, Brad Keselowski, the driver of the number 2 Miller Lite Ford. Brad, we read off some statistics earlier when Paul and Bud were up here. Your second victory and fifth top 10 finish just this year. Also here at Talladega, this is your fourth victory and ninth top 10 finish in 15 races. So talk a little bit about that and talk a little bit about that finish there.
Yeah, well, what can you say? Talladega has been good to me, and it's great to be back on this podium as a race winner. Very, very proud and thrilled for a day today. Never know what you're going to get here. Talladega's always been that way, but it's been very good to me, and I'm, you know, like I said, thankful for that crazy day. Somehow we managed to stay ahead of or out of all the chaos. A couple of people have asked me about it. I didn't see it, thankfully, because I was in front of it. You know, that's how Talladega goes. You know, sometimes we run here and everybody kind of lines up against the wall, and sometimes we come here and it's crazy side by side, wreck them up. And I think that's part of the allure to coming here is that you don't know what you're going to get. And as a racer and a driver, you got to be prepared for either way and take advantage of the situation. We were able to do that today with really just an all-around solid day. It wasn't anything flashy about today for us. We had good speed. Our execution was really strong on pit road. And of course, we caught just a couple of breaks there with getting the right pushes at the right time when we were side-by-side for the lead. And all that added up to the victory that we got today.
All right. We're going to...
There's Brad Keselowski talking about his win. He did have a good push at the end there. And... was able to get ahead of Kyle Busch, which is pretty tough to do on a restart. Most every times you start, they were starting on the inside, including Brad Keselowski prior to the last one. Then on the last restart, he took the outside, but he needed a push to get ahead of Kyle Busch because on restarts, Kyle Busch is one of your best. Of course, Brad led five times for 46 laps, which was the most, so he takes the bonus points for laps led and leading lap, plus the win bumps him into a four-way tie in the seeding in the championship, so... should be interesting. Actually, when you look at things, how the standings are, being that it changes from week to week, it happens to be that right now in the points, Harvick still leads with Kyle Busch second. Carl Edwards is third. Jimmy Johnson is fourth. Joey Logano is fifth. Kurt Busch sixth. Brad Keselowski seventh. Dale Jr. ninth. Martin Truex. Tenth, Austin Dillon. 11th, Chase Elliott. 9th, 12th is Denny Hamlin. 13th, Jamie McMurray. 14th is A.J. Allmendinger. 15th is Matt Kenseth. And on the bubble, in the chase, it's Trevor Bayne. Now, if you look at the bubble, Casey Kane, Ryan Blaney, and Ryan Newman are all within a few points of each other. So that could change next week when we go to Kansas. But the way the top 16 are, it's according to points, the wins don't come into play until Chicagoland after Richmond, because Richmond is the cutoff for the battle for the chase, and everybody will go bananas for that one. So, heading into Kansas, what I call the Heartland, or what they call the Heartland, and in the second race last year, this was in October in the chase, Joey Logano, Denny Hamlin, and Jimmy Johnson, Casey Kane was up there. Like I said, if things could change, Kyle Busch and Kurt Busch are your top ones. And the first race, Jimmy Johnson had won. Harvick and Dale Jr. Logano was up there again. If you remember in the chase last year when Logano won at Kansas, it was the middle of like three in a row. He swept it that round. And then the very first race of the next round, Matt Kenseth ended Logano's championship host by repaying Joey Logano for what happened earlier in the chase when he... when they had another incident where Kenseth's championship bid was ended. But anyway, this in the first race, it was Jimmy Johnson. So he's one of my... and Joey Logano, he's a consistent look. But I can't just keep picking Jimmy. I think I just picked him a couple weeks ago for the day race at Richmond. So I'm not going to go with Jimmy there. Because Dover's coming up, and it's hard to not pick Jimmy at Dover. But Doom-like, and I think he's due for a little bit of a resurgence after finishing short the past couple weeks. And that's going to be Kyle Busch. I think Kyle Busch finished fifth in October, and second this past week. He didn't really have he wasn't even in this race last year at this time, so he was still recovering from his injuries, suffered at Daytona, so I think Kyle wants to, and has the talent and capability of doing it, but I look for him on having a very fast car, as he usually does. He's always there for the restart, so I'm going to have to go with the M&Ms. Of course, he was rocking the Skittles look last 2 days ago, but I'll go with the M&Ms car this week, number 18. I think the Gibbs cars will return to prominence. Talladega is a crapshoot. Bigger Edwards, Kenseth, and Hamlin all got tore up. Kyle Busch survived. So you'll have to go that route. So I'm going to pick Kyle Busch in Kansas. He's going to tally of the field. So anyway, still got a minute to give us a call. 646-649-1899. Other than that, we're going to check out this weekend's events. We got Kansas. That's the home of Jennifer Jo Cobb. Let me see if the truck series is running in this week. Usually they run Kansas as well. Yes, they are. The Toyota Tundra 250. That'll be, change my other calendar. That'll be Friday night under the lights. Saturday will be the Xfinity series. That will be actually, the Xfinity series is off this weekend, so it's Friday night for the truck series and Saturday night under the light for the Cup series. It'll be for the GoBowling.com 400. That'll be 7:30, Fox Sports 1. Check your local TV provider, whether it's Comcast or Direct or Dish or whatever, for your local channel. And that will start at 7:30 p.m. alleged green flags dropping for the race. In case of weather, they might move it up, I think, and bump it. I know yesterday they had a race watch going on. So that's our show for today. Hope you all had enjoyed the show. So we'll see you all next week. I'm your host, Vince Bonfigli. You've been listening to Garage Talk Live on blogtalkradio.com/Garage Talk Live. If you want to go right to it, I always post the links. Check us out, like us on Facebook. And you can follow me on Twitter at GTLVince. I do tweet much, but I do use my Facebook one. So go to Facebook, look up Garage Talk Live, give us a like. And I always post things up, whether it's interesting articles, Dale Sr.'s birthday, so we all wish the late Dale Earnhardt Sr.'s birthday. So anyway, we shall return next week, Tuesday. See you all at noon. Tune us in for lunch. I'm your host. Have a good day and good racing.